I'm sorry for those that showed up expecting someone else. I told Daryl, I said, I think Keith may have not got the message that I didn't get John Edwards to come fill in this evening, because that's I'd contacted John to see if he'd come preach for us. But anyway, it's a blessing and opportunity for me to get to do it anytime I get to, because it causes me to study more, and I'm blessed from it, and I hope that you're blessed from the study that we'll continue tonight as we really finish up on what we started Wednesday night, which was just talking about the baptism of Jesus and the importance of it and the things that we can gain from it today in our lives as we study about it and as we consider baptism, the baptism of Christ that obviously we are under today, and as we go through this, I hope you'll see some of the importance and draw some of the things from it as well. I forgot to mention to Daryl to add to the announcements. We're going to be singing at Honey Creek tonight, so anybody that wants to be a part of that, we're going to go down there and sing, and also Fourth Sunday is coming up next week, and so everybody be thinking about that too, just so that doesn't slip up on you. Okay, so last Wednesday night we left off, and we pretty much spent all the time that we had considering the life of John and John the Baptist, looking at the Gospel of Luke, just the account of John's life that Luke, I think it's neat to study the book of Luke and see the detail and the things that he records in that. And to me, I think about that as, you know, that sounds like something a physician would do, right? You know, I mean, the detail of his gospel. So it's just neat to think about that. But Luke records the account of John's life leading up to his public appearance, where he begins preaching and teaching of the kingdom of heaven, baptizing and teaching baptism of repentance for those Judean Jews who sought to obey God. And we can see from the beginning, God's at work here in the lives of John's faithful parents, and, you know, against all odds, through a barren woman, God brings him into the world for a special purpose. And then, you know, as we were reading the other night, if you look forward in Luke 1:37, where Gabriel's speaking to Mary, he said nothing's impossible with God. You know, so clearly God can do all things, and through Elizabeth, who was barren, we see John brought into the world for a special purpose. And then we read, and we can understand from the Old Testament, you know, there's prophecy that foretold John's coming and the role that he was going to serve in paving the way for Christ's coming. So the whole point of the study that I began Wednesday was for us to consider three reasons that we can find in Scripture that Jesus was baptized, and even though he was without sin, he submitted to baptism, and what can we take from that today? So I want us to quickly get into that, but before we do, I think it's important to point out why we start this study so much with John. It's because God sent John. You know, if God sent him for a purpose, then those who desired to follow and be faithful to God, they would have needed to heed what he was teaching. So reason number one, Jesus was baptized, it's simply obedience to God. You know, we refer to this as the baptism of John, and Scripture does too, because it was John that came teaching and preaching and baptizing, but it was a baptism of God. It didn't come from John. John didn't come teaching and preaching of the kingdom and baptizing on his own accord, on his own initiative. He was sent by God to baptize. Turn to John 1, and we'll begin there in about verse 19. As John began his ministry, we can read here that the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to question him, and they said, "Who are you?" And we read that John confessed that he was not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. And in John 1:25, we read that John's reply caused them to ask, "Well, why do you baptize if you're not Christ, if you're not Elijah, nor the prophet?" So you see, the fact that John was baptizing indicated to them that he was claiming some level of importance or authority for what he was doing. And it obviously caught the attention of the Jewish religious leaders, as we see here. The next day, you can read in John 1:33 that John bore witness of Jesus. And here he says, "I did not know him," speaking of Jesus, "but he," there he's speaking of God, "he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So John confirms right here in this passage that it was God who sent him to baptize. And if God sent him to baptize, the baptism of John was authorized by God. You can flip over in Matthew 21:25. There Jesus asks the question, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? You know, the Pharisees were too afraid to honestly answer Jesus' question there regarding John's baptism, but it was clear that his baptism was from heaven. So what does that mean? It means that maybe John's baptism was authorized by God, as we just saw there. Again, John 1:33, speaking of God, John said, "He who sent me to baptize." So, you know, of course this is authorized by God and was an expectation of all people. Luke 7:29, if you want to turn over there. Here we read, "And when all the people heard him," and this is speaking of John, "even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John." So this baptism was part of God's justice, according to this. And then Luke 7:30, we pay close attention to the words here, "But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him." There's, again, him is speaking of John. Baptism was part of God's will, and the Pharisees and lawyers rejected it. So if John's baptism was from God, if John's baptism was from heaven, if John's baptism was part of God's justice, part of his will for those Jews in the land of Judea, I mean, it makes sense the obedient Son of God would have submitted to it. And obviously, that, you know, we think about Jesus' baptism as an example. Absolutely, is a great example for us. But there's so much more to it. So what about today? Is the baptism of the New Testament from God? Absolutely. It is from heaven. It's part of God's justice. It's necessary. It's something he requires. And it's part of his will so that mankind can be saved. And if that's the case, then those who desire to be obedient to God are going to submit to it. Peter, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, commanded those on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized. And we see that in Acts 2:38. You know, the how that they were going to be saved was through baptism. And God blessed the church with immediate growth on that day, as there were about 3,000 souls who were baptized and who are obeyed and baptized, as we can see in Acts 2:41. You know, Paul writes about being grateful for the church in Rome, in Romans 6, because they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which they were delivered. And that's in Romans 6:17. And you kind of think, well, what doctrine are we talking about here, Paul? And then if you back up, he's already told us in Romans 6:3-4. You know, that form of doctrine that he talks about there, it included baptism in those earlier verses. So if the sinless Son of God was baptized in order to be obedient to God, we need to do that as well. Reason number two that Jesus was baptized that we can find in Scripture is to fulfill all righteousness. Turn to Matthew 3:15, is where it talks about that. And Jesus himself, Jesus came to John to be baptized, and you may remember the story. John knows that Jesus is sinless and didn't consider himself worthy to baptize him. But Jesus tells him, he said, "This we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness." That's what it says right there in Matthew 3:15. And since baptism was authorized by God, as we just pointed out, and God sent John to baptize, a refusal of baptism would have been an act of unrighteousness, and that's something that the Son of God was not going to do. To fulfill all righteousness means to complete all that is required of a righteous man And we know that Jesus would have done that, and he did. Of course, he's going to be baptized, as it was a requirement to be right with God. And we see in the words of Christ and in his actions that he did that. This baptism was necessary, and it needed to take place so that all righteousness could be fulfilled. Today we're baptized because it's the only means by which we can be righteous before God. And then it's at that point where we contact that blood of Jesus and our sins are washed away, and we have that right relationship with God. We can read of that in Acts 2, 8 and Acts 22, 16. And if we intend to wear the garments of righteousness, we need to clothe ourselves with Christ, and this can only occur when we're baptized, as it Paul speaks about in his letter to the Galatian church in Galatians 3:27. And the Bible clothes are often used as a symbol of salvation or righteousness. In Isaiah 52:1 and Revelations 3:4, 5, and 18 point to that. And then Peter plainly and clearly declares that baptism now saves us in 1 Peter 3:21. Reason number three, Jesus was baptized was to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the Spirit of God. You know, the role of the Holy Spirit is significant in the New Testament, and the Old Testament prophecies included the Holy Spirit coming upon the Messiah, as we just talked about a minute ago. And Isaiah 11:2 would say the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And then Matthew 3:16, when John baptized him, as we looked at just a second ago, Jesus, when he baptized him, he saw the Spirit of God coming upon him. John 1:32-33 tells us that he said the Spirit remained on him. So therefore, that was the fulfillment of the Isaiah prophecy. It took place when Jesus was baptized. In Acts 10:38, Peter declared that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. This took place at his baptism. And it's today in our baptism when we receive the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2:38. God only gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him, and our baptism is an act of obedience, Acts 5:32. Can one be saved without having the Holy Spirit? Romans 8:9, Paul says it very clearly. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. The Holy Spirit is proof that we're sons of God. Galatians 4:4-7 speaks of that, that we're part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, and that we're loved by God. Romans 5:5. Paul says in Ephesians 1:13-14, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. By giving us the Holy Spirit at baptism, God has sealed us for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. When Christ returns to judge and destroy the world, do you want to show up without the seal that we only receive in baptism? I do not. And I think that's a powerful, powerful thing to understand about what is received through our baptism. We're marked for that day. If we truly claim Jesus is Lord, Romans 10:9, then we're going to follow his example. And there we will unite with him, as it talks about in Romans 6:3-4, and we will be clothed with him, Galatians 3:27. You know, remember in Acts 8 where Philip taught the eunuch about Jesus, and Acts 8:35, we see his reply. See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? The eunuch clearly saw the connection with following Jesus, which includes being baptized. So I'm thankful to have had the opportunity to at least wrap up this study that we started Wednesday night. And really just to encourage you to study the baptism of Jesus and study it, because it's something that I think I'd often just thought about. Jesus was baptized, as obviously it was something that God wanted him to do, expected him to do, and that he had done it to teach us, to show us what was expected of us. But there's so much more to it, and I wanted to share that with y'all, because it's been a powerful and encouraging study to me to even even reinforce the essentiality of baptism. If there is anyone here tonight who is struggling and needs the prayers of the church for any reason, or if there's one who hasn't put Christ on in baptism and would like to do that tonight, we're here to pray with you or help you obey Christ if that's your need. Please come while we stand and sing.